Stand, please. Okay, okay, okay. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its Honorable Court.
I'm Ward Myfeller from Tampa. I represent Lee Page, who's with me today. We briefed a lot of issues here. It seems to me there's four main categories. One is the invasion of privacy common law claim. Second is the court's failure to address various Privacy Act violations other than the disclosure on the internet. And then the question of whether the video that was disclosed was a record within a system of records. In light of the fact that a formal number was not assigned until several days after it was supposed to be assigned. And then the fourth general area, which I would like to start with, is whether the disclosure here was willful or intentional, which also includes the issue of whether Lee Page must identify the specific leaker in this case.
Can I ask you just one question? There were so many different versions of this, and I had trouble pinning down which one went where. What is your evidence that the 409 video, the one that we're talking about, was ever put in the IN file, was ever sent to the IN people to be put in the IN file?
My answer to that is this. It was always in the IN file or the system of records for several reasons. To answer the more specific question, Peter Gruden, the person who made the 409 film, told the OPR investigator that he sent it to IN. That particular video, it appears, was also in the possession of Richard Inscore, who was a IN investigator who loaned it to someone at the firearms training unit who then returned it to him.
Okay, but I thought we have something in the evidence that someone at IN up here said it isn't in the file.
The OPR investigator submitted an affidavit that said there's no evidence that the 409 CD was placed in file INGB04-32S. That's a litigation-crafted statement that assumes there is no IN file until a number is assigned to it. Right. In addition, he didn't even look at the file until the case was closed. But it's our position that the IN file existed long before a number was actually assigned to it. In addition, the mini DV from which the 409 video was made was always in the IN file, and under Bartel and common sense, a copy is part of the file. In addition, the 409 CD was made by Peter Gruden while he was in the process of constructing the IN file.
Back to your point about a copy, what did you just say?
I said that under Bartel versus FAA, the court said that a copy of something in the record is considered part of the record.
Yeah, but if we don't find any evidence that this 4-minute CD was ever in the file, we don't have to get to that, right?
Well, the question is whether the mini DV from which it was copied was part of the system of records. And it seems to me that it's quite clear that
if there's two documents, document A and document B, and document A is in the file and it partially quotes document B, does that mean document B is in the file?
If document B...
That can't be right.
If document B is a precise copy of document A, it's considered to be part of the file.
No, I just said it quoted part of it. Well, it can't be that a 4-minute video is a precise copy of a 1-hour video.
No, but it is a precise copy of 4 minutes and nine
That's
seconds.
That's what I just asked you. I just asked you. My hypothetical was document A quotes document B, and it precisely quotes one paragraph out of document B. So under your theory, document B is considered to be in the record?
If document
right.
A was in the record and then someone made a copy, the precise things, yes, it would be part of the record.
You don't want to deal with my question. Go ahead.
I also believe, well, I would like to deal with the question, and I thought I was trying to answer it. If document B was in the file, which I believe the 409 video was, well, then document B was...
You agree that the four-minute video is not identical to the one-hour video, right?
I agree that 4 minutes is not equal to a 70-minute video, right. Yes. But the four-minute... All right. With respect to the issue of willful and intentional, it appeared to me that the court and the government argues that one must prove a specific or actual intent.
Again, just to get this in context, this is not an issue we have to reach, right, if we conclude that the four-minute CD was never in the file, right? That's the key question in this case, isn't it?
All right.
You have to prevail at that before you get to willfulness.
All right. Yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
Now, so let me turn to that.
Yeah.
It seems to me that what's going on here is the government and the court is requiring the existence of a formal file, IN file, when under MADOC and the Privacy Act, what's required is a system of records. There was a system of records beginning with the investigation. All the shootings in the DEA must be immediately investigated. And reported, and the evidence must be immediately secured. And on the day of the shooting, that evidence was immediately secured. It became part of the system of records, that is, the investigation of this shooting. The DEA investigation checklist, the shooting incident checklist, points out that this evidence was seized and maintained by Peter Gruden. It became part of the system of records virtually within an hour of the shooting. The head of the IN testified that, well, let me back up. The DEA rules provide that all...
Under your theory, any pile of papers on someone's desk could be a system of records.
Not any pile of papers. I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying
If I go to work on something, on a new case, and I start stacking stuff up on my desk... Under your theory, that's a system of records.
If it's the beginning of a new case, yes, I do believe that would be the beginning of a system of records, just like in the MADOC case, where there was an unorganized group of pictures.
Well, but the identifier in MADOC were the pictures.
Well, the identifier here was everyone knew that all these documents related to the investigation of the shooting involving Lee Page. It was all identifiable by name, and plus his picture was on the video, so it was identified by identifying particulars. But
there could have been things in the file that weren't directly related to him, right? I mean, that didn't have his, couldn't there? I mean, the only person who knew that CD in the file that was in that, what's the guy's name? Gruden?
Peter Gruden.
Yeah, the only person who knew that was this CD was him, and he knew it because he put it there. It didn't have Page's name on it, did it?
It had his picture on it. Now, frankly, I don't know if he put it in a plastic bag with his name or not on it, but Peter Gruden could identify that particular record because he knew it was the video of Lee Page. The DEA rules require that all investigations must be investigated. The head of the IN indicated or testified that the IN file is opened automatically. Moreover, the rules provide that a file number is supposed to be assigned immediately. And this shooting occurred on a Friday, April 9th, and the number should have been assigned on the following Monday, which would have been April 12th, but the number itself wasn't assigned till the 13th, I mean, till the 16th, which was a violation of the rules.
Assigned before that? I thought there was some question whether IN was even going to be investigating it.
No, IN is required to investigate.
But didn't they say something in the beginning, we're going to let the locals do it, and then they took it over, or
I think this is also a misconception the trial court had. IN is responsible and directs and monitors, those are the exact words, all shooting investigations. Sometimes they send a shooting team to the site itself. And they do that when there's a personal injury or where there's potential embarrassment to the DEA. On other instances, they'll delegate that responsibility to the local field office to literally, quote, construct the IN file. And that's what happened here initially. On April 12th, IN called up the local office and said, we're not sending a shooting team from the national headquarters. Therefore, Peter Gruden had to, quote, construct the IN file, which he began doing on April 12th. He secured the mini-DV. He wrote the report of investigation that went into the IN file.
Okay, then let me stop you. That file that you're describing now, when the IN people said, okay, we're coming down or sending someone down ourselves, did they take that file you just described, or did they open another file?
No, the file was already open.
Okay.
And they delegated responsibility to Peter Gruden to construct. There's three parts of the file. The correspondence file, which was at headquarters, the so-called, and plus the evidence would be a second part, and then the investigation file or the binder. Initially, as of April 12th, that part of the file was supposed to be constructed by Peter Gruden locally. Then on the 14th, IN called up and said, no, we're going to send a shooting team after all. And they came down on the 19th through the 21st and did the on-site investigation.
And what did they do with the file that Gruden had opened? Did they take it back?
They took it back. I mean, the file is literally opened by IN, but Peter Gruden is supposed to construct it. And what he did was he wrote the DEA 6, I mean, the report of investigation. He wrote the report of shooting. All these things went into the file. And then he turned over the mini DV to the investigators.
I realize that you're running out of time. You have tried twice to talk about the willful and intentional disclosure, and I want you to go back to that.
Okay.
Because I think you were going to take issue with the idea that you have to be able to identify who disclosed it in order to show that it was willful and intentional.
Yes. There's no such requirement in the in the rules, I mean in the statute, the Privacy Act statute. In addition, of course, one can use circumstantial evidence. But more importantly, one of the standards for willfulness is actions are so patently egregious and unlawful that anyone undertaking the conduct should have known it unlawful. Well, if that's the case, then why do you need to identify the shooter? And plus, mainly, I'd like to point out the recent Armstrong case, where this court made it clear that you don't have to identify the particular leaker, particularly if it goes into the rumor mill. This court said that, to be sure, a person who fed the rumor mill the contents of a record that had been retrieved from a system of records may have violated the Privacy Act. The problem the person Armstrong had in that case is that the information could have come from somewhere else. In our case, there's only one video. The mini DV and this 409 came from it. So there's no other source for this film, which was leaked.
But in order for it to be willful and intentional or egregious, as you describe it, the person who does it has to know that there's a reason why that can't be disclosed, right?
Oh, yes, and in our brief, we talked about this. The judge did not look at most of the evidence we presented of that because he was relying on the whole idea you have to prove actual or specific intent to violate the Privacy Act. But when you look at the rules of the DEA, and we submitted affidavits that everybody knew these rules, they were so overarching, particularly the rule on a document being DEA sensitive, which this one was. And that means that no one can disclose anything without first determining that person has appropriate status, position, and need to know. And these rules, people have to certify. Everyone at the DEA has to certify every single year that they've read the standards of conduct and understand them, including the treatment of DEA-sensitive material. And that material has to be locked up. It can't be given to anybody unless there's a need to know and unless it's the appropriate person. And the DEA file itself, I mean the IN file itself was DEA-sensitive. And only two copies were supposed to be made. Peter Gruden wasn't authorized to give to anyone other than IN.
So was this particular video, the 409 video, was that ever actually designated DEA sensitive?
Well, the IN file was designated DEA sensitive, which included the mini DV. Peter Gruden had copies made of the mini DV, and it's our position that since it's a copy, it's still DEA sensitive. But he never told the people at IN that he had it.
Who received that with no designation on it know that?
Because all investigatory information in the DEA is a DEA sensitive. I mean, it's just well known that anything like that, any type of evidence, any investigative material is DEA sensitive and cannot be leaked to anybody. In addition, the DEA has pretty strict regulations on the Privacy Act, and it says that all personal information has to be immediately protected, including put in a locked storage facility and not be allowed to be shown to anybody. And again, we submitted an affidavit that all these rules are well known by everybody in the DEA. And moreover, it all started with Peter Gruden. He put it in the rumor mill. Hunter Armstrong, that by itself is sufficient. But we think that also whoever ended up putting it into the internet, and we think there's circumstantial evidence that Peter Gruden himself did it, since he lied about the copies that he had, there's sufficient information that someone at the DEA purposely put it in the internet. In addition, the judge didn't address just the disclosures within the DEA itself, which themselves are violations of the Privacy Act.
Let me ask you, you said there are two copies. Where were the two copies?
The two copies of what?
The IN file. You said there were two copies of the IN file. I thought in response to Judge Brown you said that.
But there's only supposed to be two copies made. That's all the right. Rules authorize.
Right.
And then...
Well, do you know that there were two copies made in this case?
Well, I don't know whether there were two copies made of the file. I know that there were approximately 30 copies made of the film.
Oh, I know. I'm talking about the file.
I don't know how many copies of the file itself were made. Normally, there'd be one made for the Shooting and Assault Review Committee and maybe one made for the...
So it's not in the record?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll give you a couple minutes in reply. Ms. Gilbert?
May it please the court, Helen Gilbert for the government. As the district court properly determined, plaintiff has failed to show that the video that was disclosed was retrieved from a system of records. There is really nothing in the record to show that the four minute and nine second version of the video was ever in the IN file. There's one statement made by the Office of Professional Responsibility Investigator who stated in his testimony first that he thought that Gruden had told him that Gruden had sent a version of the video to IN, but the investigator later stated that he didn't quite recall. Gruden always testified that he never sent the four-minute version to the IN file. All of the IN investigators who helped develop that file and had access to that file stated that there was never a four-minute version of the video in that file, and the district court properly determined that there was not nearly enough evidence to show that there was ever a four-minute version in the IN file.
But why should that protect you, really? I mean, what the Privacy Act is trying to do is curb abuse of governmental agencies who have access to all this kind of information. So why should it be okay if I am doing something that ultimately will be in the file, and I know that, and I just make copies of it before I put it in the file? Does that absolve me from all responsibility?
No, Your Honor, but Gruden had the video and made copies for a number of different purposes, only one of which was to go into and that ended up into the investigatory file. So, for example, as soon as a shooting incident occurs, the supervisor of the individual who's involved in the incident is required by DEA manual to fill out a report of shooting. And that doesn't go to IN. That goes to the firearms unit in Quantico. And so Gruden prepared that and sent it with the video. And the reason that the firearms unit has that is to determine whether or not say this type of weapon has malfunctioned 30 times in the last year. So it's not coded to the individual. In that case, it's coded to things like making sure that there was no malfunction of the weapon or making sure that we're learning proper lessons about firearm safety. So the assumption that Gruden always knew that there would only be one copy of the video and that one copy would always be put into the IN system of records is simply incorrect.
Are you saying the thing that went to Quantico was not identified by Lee Page? It was only identified by the firearm?
Well, there.
That can't be right.
Well, the DEA form 485, the shooting report form, that is prepared for the firearms unit. It does have Lee Page's name on it, but it's categorized by a general file number, so it's not retrievable by any personal identifier and is not covered by the system of records requirement of the Privacy Act. I mean, only to explain that the video was copied for a number of different reasons.
Why isn't it covered by the system of records if it's a form that has to be filled out when there's a shooting?
Correct, Your Honor, but maybe I should take a step back. One, the only system of records that plaintiff has ever alleged that is an issue in this case is the IN file system. Two, this form is separate from the documents that are sent to IN. This is a form sent to the firearms unit. In this case, it was sent to Bill Lutz along with the video for a very different purpose. It wasn't to investigate the shooting in the same way. It was meant to just merely catalog the fact that there had been an accidental discharge of this weapon.
That is a system of records. He may not have included that in his complaint, but that is a system of records.
Your Honor, we don't know if that is a system of records at all. All we know is that that information is not retrievable by an identifier, a personal identifier, under the Privacy Act. And plaintiff has never alleged that that is where the disclosure came from or that that is a system of records. That's not even an issue in this case. The record was developed merely to look at the IN file system. But Gruden made copies for a number of reasons. Two of those copies ended up in the IN file, but there's no evidence in the record that shows that the video that was disclosed on the internet came from the IN file. Additionally, plaintiff fails to show...
Wait, I'm sorry. When you said there were two of the videos were in the IN file, you're not referring to the four-minute CD, are you?
No, Your Honor.
You're referring to the other two.
Exactly, Your Honor. I'm referring to the...
You're referring to the one-hour versions.
Exactly. There were
the mini video and the other thing.
And the VHS.
VHS. I didn't hear you just say that the four-minute CD was in the IN file, did I?
Oh, absolutely not, Your Honor. Right. The four-minute version was never in the IN file.
Right. Now, I've got that there were, tell me if I'm wrong, there were three versions in the IN file. The original mini DV, which was obtained from Gruden between April 19th and April 21st, the VH copy Gruden sent to IN on April 15th, but that IN didn't, quote, obtain, unquote, until after April 21st, and the DVDs made by one of the IN inspectors at IN headquarters after conducting their investigation.
Well, that DVD was made during the course of the investigation.
Right, but there are three versions.
Exactly, Your Honor. Those are the versions that have been in the IN file, have always been in the IN file. The four-minute version was never in the file. Therefore, a plaintiff fails to establish that the version that was disclosed ever came from a system of records.
So if Gruden had created this file on the 12th, as he was supposed to do, and then taken the DVD and made these four-minute versions, that would have violated the Privacy Act, but doing it before does not. Is that your argument?
Yes, but with one clarification, Your Honor. Plaintiff makes some assumptions that are unsupported by the record regarding Gruden's involvement in the investigation before the inspectors were sent from Washington down to Orlando. At that time, the IN office in D.C. decides to do one of two things. It either will send its own inspectors down to head up the investigation, or it will delegate that investigatory responsibility to the local office. Here, there was never any delegation.
My understanding is that that was unclear, that initially they said they were not sending a separate team, right? Which would suggest to me that it would have been delegated, correct?
Well, not necessarily, Your Honor, because when that decision is made to delegate, they also say, we've opened the file, here's the file number, and we've delegated the investigatory responsibility to your office. But in this case, they called and said on Monday, we heard there was a shooting on Friday, we know that there's a video. Can you send us the video so we can see what's going on? Right now, we've decided we're not going to send anyone down to D.C. They sent the video to IN. IN looked at the video and said, you know what, this is something that we really should send our own people to do. And at that point, they did. But there was never any decision made to delegate the investigatory responsibilities to Orlando.
Would that have made a difference? If there had been a formal delegation of the responsibility for this investigation, when would the file have come into existence?
Well, Your Honor, it really wouldn't have made a difference. The file was opened on Friday, April 16th. You couldn't have the video be retrieved from the system of records until it was in the system of records. And that file wasn't created until after these copies were initially made. So therefore, it really is irrelevant at this point. The video that was disclosed, there's no evidence to show that it ever came from the system of records. Nonetheless, much less, there's no evidence to show that that disclosure met the willful and intentional requirement of the Privacy Act. In this case, plaintiff fails to show any of the circumstances of the release of that video, and under these conditions and this court's precedent, the plaintiff is unable to move forward with his Privacy Act claims. There are no further questions.
All right.
Thank you.
Does he have any time left?
1 minute. Okay. Let me clarify something about the reported shooting. Counsel said it doesn't go to IN. The reported shooting appears at page 24 of the appendix. It is in the IN file. It specifically.
To Quantico?
I'm sorry?
That's the thing that goes to the firearms?
It goes to firearms and to IN.
All right. What's the site again?
In the appendix, page 24. It states here, submit to IN with completed investigation package. This was Gruden's job, was to do the reported shooting and submit it with the investigation package. Because as a matter of rules in the DEA, if the investigation is not done on the national level, it is done on the local level by Peter Gruden, and he started the investigation, and he was doing the investigation. In fact, the checklist says that he was maintaining the evidence. The mini DV from which the 409 was copied sometime on or after April 15th. Now, just because a file number hadn't been assigned and it was assigned belatedly doesn't mean there wasn't a system of records. There was a system of records. There were records created to send the people to Orlando. And if it wasn't retrieved from a system of records, then Bartel would clearly apply with footnote 15.
All right. Let me ask you it's not in the record, and I'm asking just for my own sake, and that is Mr. Page still, what is he doing now with DEA?
He's still working with the DEA in Orlando. He's unable to do undercover work like he used to. He's unable to do the demand reduction presentations, which
he
used to.
Doing?
I'm sorry?
What is his job?
He's still a special agent.
Okay.
I mean, I can ask him.
No, that's okay. He's in the office.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Okay.